Teachers, we're going to get right into this. This year, I am doing something with students that I have literally never done before. I've never even actually considered it until this year. And the thing that I'm doing might be insanely controversial. But this year, I am paying students to do something that they dislike. Now, do all students dislike doing it? No, some kids absolutely love it. But I would say that a majority of kids that come through my classroom and maybe your classroom, they are not eager to engage in this specific task. And because of that, I'm like, you know what? I know how to motivate kids. Pay them. That's correct. Now, there is obviously way more to this. So what is the task? What do they hate? And how are they getting paid to complete this? That's exactly what we are going to tackle in today's episode. And I promise that whether you teach elementary school, middle school, or high school, I think that this is actually something that you can integrate into your classroom or into your school. And I think it's going to make a huge difference, especially when we are super obsessed with literacy and test scores and reading scores and English scores. As some of you know, I am absolutely data-driven, but I'm not obsessed with numbers. But we are living in a world that is very focused on test scores and very focused on literacy. And rather than teaching to a test, I am taking something to the basic core level and saying, yeah, I can help with test scores. I can help boost literacy. I'm just going to pay kids to do it. Now, we're going to get into all the details, but before we do that, I want to read a 5-star review that was left on the Apple Podcast app. The listener of the week is the Running Pastor and gave the This Teacher Life podcast 5 stars and said, great energy. Monica has a contagious enthusiasm and perspective to give teachers a little pick-me-up with ideas to implement in the classroom the very next day. Because she is a classroom teacher herself, she is living through it and has tried the things that she talks about. The podcast provides ideas, but also an attitude shift when needed. This podcast inspires me. Well, Running Pastor, thank you so much for being a listener. Thank you for enjoying the ideas that are hopefully simple and strategic, just like the one that we are going to present in today's episode. If you haven't yet left a written review, I would so very much appreciate it because it just helps fellow teachers like you find this podcast so they can do a better job of living this teacher life as well. So hit pause on this. Pull the car over. Actually, don't pull the car over. Wait, if you are driving to school, wait till you get to school. But maybe before you walk into your school, you leave a quick written review and help catapult this podcast into the hearts and heads of even more teachers. But for right now, let's get into this idea that I am very excited to share. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. So I already dropped the bomb that I am paying kids to do something that they don't generally like to do. But before I explain that, I actually want to explain the origin of where this idea came from. And to be fully transparent with you, it came out of frustration in the past few years. Because I've noticed when kids get done with a task, when kids get done with an assignment these days, rather than doing something productive, what they will do is they will open up YouTube on their device. They will open up some game on their device. There isn't some sort of useful or meaningful task because they have a device at their fingertip that is filled with all kinds of entertainment, Netflix, games, YouTube, Spotify, all of these things that really interest kids. And we can't really get mad at them because we give them a device. And so we can get frustrated about the fact that they're like, well, I'm done with my work. Of course I'm on YouTube. Well, I'm done with my work. Of course I'm playing this like silly game. And I think if it was constantly them doing some sort of math game or some sort of research on YouTube that is for a class, that would be different. But I think we can all agree that if there is unstructured time, kids aren't defaulting to something that is going to enhance their learning. And as I started thinking about my frustration with this, I'm like, well, this hasn't always been a frustration. What did kids do when they were done with a task or they worked ahead on an assignment and they're done? What did they do at the beginning of my career? And I'm not trying to date myself, but I will say, you know, 15 years ago when I was a newer teacher, this wasn't an issue. One, because we didn't have devices in every single kid's hands, but we also did more of this. And what's the this? I think it was giving kids an opportunity to read a book of choice. In my first 10 years of teaching, it was just understood that kids would bring the following materials to class: their binder, paper, pencil, their folder for the class, their textbook for the class if they had one, and then also a book of choice. And what I mean by a book of choice was not the book or the novel that they were reading in English or ELA class necessarily, but every kid had a book that they were reading for fun, for entertainment, for leisure, for learning, for value, and it had nothing to do with content and curriculum. And so in the past couple years, I've realized, well, Monica, these kids aren't going to the library at all. At least, let me say this. Maybe that's not true for your school. But what I have found is that kids weren't carrying books of choice. And part of the reason why they weren't carrying books of choice is because we just weren't going to the library as much. We live in a digital world, and of course there's ebooks, and I'm all for an ebook, but I think that kids, when connected to devices, can get distracted so easily. And I think there's data to prove that because of the cell phone policies that are sprouting up everywhere, and it's like, my God, these kids are so distracted. Agreed. So what are we doing to combat that? What is the default activity that our kids are engaging in when they are done with a task? I want to get back to they're diving into a book that they want to read. And at first, even like me saying that out loud, I'm like, God, is that even realistic? Like, is that even what this generation of learners is going to do? And what I decided was this year, it's worth a shot. This year, I am going to go back to just some basics of, in my class, I am carving out library time once a month. And so if you're like, but Monica, what's your class? Well, this year, I am K-12 SEL. So college, career, and life readiness skills. Okay. And so if you have a morning meeting time, if you have an advisory time, if you have a homeroom time, if you have an SEL time, I actually do think and can strategically argue that that would be a really great time to carve out library time. Dead serious. Let's get our kids into libraries, checking out books, perusing the shelves, flipping through different authors and finding something that they love. The reason why I came up with this was, of course, I wanted kids to get off their stinking Chromebooks. But last year, just casually, we had some time at the end of a class period, and I was asking a group of students, what are you reading right now? And they told me the name of the novel that they were reading in their English class. And I said, that's awesome. What are you reading for fun? And they looked at me like I was nuts. They're like, what do you mean for fun? I'm like, what book are you reading just because? And they're like, why would we read a book just because? And I'm like, for fun, something that's interesting. It can be fiction, it can be nonfiction, it can be science fiction, it can be historical fiction, it can be a biography, an autobiography, it can be a cookbook. Literally, what are you reading just for fun? And this was such a foreign concept to them. And I know that that's going to be different wherever you live and how much access you have to a school library, a public library, those kinds of things, the structure of how books are in your school. But I realized these kids are looking at me crazy because no one's really ever just said, we're going to go to the library to get a book of choice. So this year, I've started it. I've started Book of Choice. And right now, I can say that every single seventh grader that I have and every single eighth grader that I have has a book of choice that they are currently carrying. And I want to say reading, but I think we have to be honest with ourselves. We understand what fake reading is, that kids can be holding books and fake reading. I wanted to take the very first step. And as of right now, the first step was get books of choice in the hands of every single kid. So in the past 30 days, I took my SEL classes, which are 20 plus middle school kids. We went to the library and we spent a class period flipping through books, reading the dust covers to hear the summary or read the summary of the book. And I gave no restrictions on genres. I said, if we have it in the school library, then you can read it. If there's something that we don't have in the school library, we have an interlibrary loan system. So come and talk to me and we can get that figured out. Because in my school district, we're very small. We don't have like a district librarian. We don't have a school librarian. We have somebody who kind of takes those tasks on occasionally. But if you walk into the library at the middle school / junior high or at the elementary building, there is not a human in there on a daily basis doing library types of tasks. Now, you probably can either relate to that or are laughing at that. If you can relate to it, you're probably a rural teacher. If you are laughing at that and being like, what the hell? Are you serious? You probably teach at a larger district where that's unheard of. And I get it, because in my first 10 years, I taught at a school where the librarian was absolutely freaking phenomenal. So good with kids, would engage with kids, would find them a great book of choice. But I think just the culture of reading has changed in the past few years. In fact, like, let me throw this out here. I'm not quoting data, but if we looked at the trends, I would guess that there's a direct correlation between the increase of technology use and the decrease of kids reading books. Because oftentimes when our kids get home from school, rather than engaging in a book in their free time before bed, they are scrolling through a device, TikTok, Instagram, probably not Facebook, but you might be scrolling on Facebook. And maybe that's an important question to ask right now. Even as adults, our access to technology and our use of technology has likely increased in the past few years as well. Maybe as an adult, has your reading, personal reading, decreased since the increase in popularity of social media and apps on our devices? Straight up, I'll be honest, I'll go first. Yeah, my reading has decreased. But I have a goal for myself. I read one book per month, a book of choice. One book per month, and I've done that for the past like 7 years. And so I've read almost 100 books using this strategy for myself. Now, am I expecting that from my students? No. I'm not giving them a specific timeline. This is truly books of choice on the timeline of kids. So that's the thing that most kids don't like to do. Most kids dislike reading. But at the beginning, I said, I'm paying them. Now, you might be thinking, Monica, I don't even know if you can legally pay kids to do that. You might be like, girl, that's sketchy. That sounds illegal. That sounds just inappropriate. Well, guess what? We're going to explain what I actually mean by paying students to read in the second part of this episode, which is coming up in about 1 minute. Another thing that I've noticed in the past few years is because we have kids on devices, so much of our content and so much of our curriculum is on devices. And I think that includes SEL, social and emotional learning, advisory, and morning meeting curriculum. We want to connect with kids and build relationships with kids, but so much of that connection is actually coming from Wi-Fi. And I have a belief if we want to connect with kids on a life level, then we need to disconnect from the Wi-Fi, which is exactly why I made 180 Days of Awesome SEL, which is an engaging, fun, interactive 180 day full curriculum for SEL, advisory, or morning meeting where kids don't need to be connected to their device in order to engage in the activities, to participate, to create incredible conversation. Another great part about 180 Days of Awesome SEL is that it was written by a classroom teacher, aka me, and I use it with my own students. So I know the activities are good. I know the links are good. I know all the questions are going to create controversy, drama, dynamics, conversation, emotion, empathy, and all of the things that we know that we need in really successful, really good SEL curriculum. If this sounds like something that you're like, girl, I gotta check this out, you can go to monicagenta.com/180SEL. That's Monica, GENTA.com/180SEL. And I'm also gonna put a direct link for these dynamic lessons in the show notes so you can click on it and check it out. I want to make sure that we are utilizing great resources, and that means that we can tuck our Chromebooks and our computers away so we can increase connections with kids. Check out monicagenta.com/180SEL to check out the fully planned, completely done for you curriculum in 180 days of awesome SEL. So step one on getting kids to engage in a better task than being on their Chromebooks was getting kids into the library and getting them a book of choice. Step two was saying, you know what? I understand that a lot of you fake read. I understand that a lot of you are like desperate for me to not use this book of choice idea because you would rather open up a Chromebook than open up a book. So in order to incentivize this, I am going to pay you. What am I going to pay you in? Well, suckers and also cold hard cash in the form of Genta dollars. So let's take a step back. I am giving kids suckers, and I'm also giving kids the opportunity to earn money in the form of Genta dollars, which is my classroom currency. A Genta dollar is just money with my face on it. And once a month, I open up a store and kids can buy seat passes, drink passes, hat passes, cool erasers, gum, old man candy, sody pops, Kool-Aids. Honestly, the store is open for negotiation because if a kid says, Miss Genta, I want to change my seat, I'm like, well, how many dollars is that worth to you? Let's talk about it. Let's make a deal, okay? So I have currency with my face on it that I call Genta dollars, and kids can earn those for a variety of reasons. It's a system that I already have in place in my classroom. So what I decided to do with these books of choice is saying, you want to earn even more Genta dollars? Let's get to reading. And so when we were in the library, I made special bookmarks for the kids and they all got to pick out a new bookmark, which is just something super small, right? Something super small, costs nothing. I printed these on the school computer, new bookmarks. New bookmarks are something that is really simple that's going to get some kids excited because it's a just a fun new bookmark and they had different like designs on them. So if a kid wasn't motivated by a new bookmark, then one other thing that I do is when it's book of choice time, what I will randomly do is pull some popsicle sticks and be like, all right, we are going to carve out 5 minutes in this class period or 10 minutes in this class period. Bust out your books of choice. And I'll pull some popsicle sticks. And if the kid has actually brought their book of choice to class and they are ready to get down to business and read that, well, guess what? Thank you for being prepared. Thank you for not having to go to your locker. Thank you for bringing that with you each day. Surprise, you get a sucker. And one day I was talking about this and I'm like, oh, you know, today we have sour suckers. And I was like, it's book and sour suckers. And they're like, is that a thing? Book and sour suckers? And I'm like, yeah, BASS. And then it turned into an acronym. Okay. So if you are like, what do you call this book of choice? One day it turned into BASS. Books and sour suckers. And I teach in a rural community. So we got a lot of fisher people, fisherwoman, fishermen, and they're like, bass, like Bass Pro Shop. Like I caught you with delicious bass from Napoleon Dynamite. If that has a good ring to it, what can you call this? Bass. Books and sour suckers. If your kids don't like sour suckers, fine. Call it bass. Books and sweet suckers. Okay. Call it Bass, books and simple suckers, and get dum-dums. Maybe the bank will donate them to your classroom. I mean, do you hear what's happening here? Just so many ideas getting thrown about. But the whole point is the bookmark's going to motivate some kids. Just having a new, fresh library book of choice is going to motivate some kids. I had some kids who are like, oh my gosh, I've always wanted to read this Harry Potter book. And we had it in our school library. And they just didn't have it at home. Another kid was like, Miss Jenta, I am fascinated by first aid. And I found this first aid book in the library. Cool. One kid was like, I want to learn how to bake. I love watching cooking shows. And this student found a book about how to make sourdough bread and the science of like yeast rising and all of this stuff. And this kid literally checked out this like 300 page recipe book. And it wasn't just recipes because it was always also like the science behind baking. And check this out. So some kids are just excited about this idea because they have a book of choice. Some kids were pumped about the bookmarks. Some kids were pumped about the suckers. And I got a lot of kids who are very invested in this Jenta Dollar, Jenta Store classroom reward system. And so what I said was anybody who reads a book of choice and anybody who is willing to give a book talk about the book can earn Jenta dollars. And all you have to do is bring that book to me ahead of time, and I will tell you the number of dollars that you can earn from reading that. Because obviously a 600-page sci-fi book is going to be worth more Jenta dollars than a Diary of a Wimpy Kid book. I appreciate both of those books. But you should get more dollars for reading a larger book with smaller font. Some kids brought me graphic novels, like this Babysitter's Club graphic novels. P.S. Babysitter's Club, say hello to the people who care. Nothing's better than friends. Do you remember Babysitter's Club? Those books are bomb. And let me tell you, the Babysitter's Club has brought back graphic novels. And so I've got some girls in my class who are super excited about these Babysitter's Club graphic novels. They are very, very illustration heavy. But I am not going to discourage a struggling reader from busting out a Babysitter's Club graphic novel. So that was obviously worth one Jenta dollar versus a kid who brought me a Tim Green book that was called Deep Zone, which was about football. Tim Green, very popular author on sports books. Like, that was about 300 pages. And so what I was trying to do was look at font size, page count, illustration levels, and assess the value of these books. So we were creating this currency system that was based off of reading books. There's no specific timeline. This is very open-ended, but as soon as you finish the book, all you have to do is let me know. We will schedule a book talk, and then you can share the theme of the book, a summary of the book, your favorite character from the book, a life lesson you learned from the book, and they're just going to be sharing things that they heard or learned or experienced or liked from these books and earning cash for it, cash in the form of classroom currency. Here's the thing. This is based off of the fact that literacy has decreased. And I want to increase student literacy. Now, I don't teach reading or English or ELA. I don't have just tons of ideas in my back pocket for that. But what I can do is say, I understand that if we want to better kids' reading ability, speaking ability, comprehension ability, at a very basic level, we have to expose kids to text more often. We have to expose kids to language, communication, oral skills, comprehension skills. We literally have to get kids into books and into situations that's going to increase their literacy more often. I do know that. And so I am doing my part in a small but hopefully substantial way to say, I want to celebrate your book of choice. Is this going to work for the whole year? Don't know. But right now, I got a lot of kids excited about this. In fact, just today, I took seventh graders to the library. And I will tell you, in a group of about, there's 23 kids in that class. Were there some kids who were just picking up random ass books off the book stacks and kind of wasting time? Yeah, absolutely. I'm just going to be real. There were. But at one point, I looked up as I was having just a chat with a kid about one of the books that they were considering. I looked up and I counted that there were 14 kids who were seated quietly, independently, reading the book that they had found, and they were in it. They were in it. And I have not seen something like that in years. And I thought, even if this isn't working for all kids, the fact that I've got that many middle school students engaged in a book that they are choosing, that's huge. So, there's the idea. Paying kids to do something that they don't like to do. And even if you don't like this idea of book of choice, I guess the takeaway from this episode could be, how can you use classroom currency to pay kids to do something else that they don't want to do or that they're not doing in your class? How can you take something that frustrates you or like, that's changed a lot. That's not how it used to be. Okay, how can you take the ideas from this episode and apply it to your current situation to increase some other skill and to get kids engaged in some sort of learning process? Friends, I want our students to succeed in every area of life. For me, I am implementing this within my SEL class because I think if we have better readers, we're going to have better speakers. And I think if we want to have better readers and better speakers, then we have to get them exposed and give them time to do that. And so this is solving a lot of problems. I hope that you loved this idea. I hope that you can take this and run with it and apply it to your own situation. If you haven't already done so, make sure that you are leaving that written review, especially if you're new to this Teacher Life podcast. And don't forget about the 180 days of awesome SEL if you are looking for even more bomb ideas to get kids engaged in your morning meeting, advisory, or SEL time. I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode, but most importantly, thank you for living this teacher life.